Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Matthew 26, verse 29. And it says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, I'm honored to be your servant. Please help me to make it clear who you are, that you're true, you're just, you're honest, righteous, and holy. Please, I ask you, in Jesus' name, amen. Only the beautiful sound of classic music was audible in the hush atmosphere. Flowers of all colors, red, white, pink, blue, and yellow, streamed the cushioned aisle and the sacred altar. All were on their feet, awesomely focusing on the gorgeous bride as she elegantly paced her way towards the altar. Flashes of blue and white lights sporadically appear as joy filled the hearts and faces of those who anxiously gazed on. Soon she was in the arms of her groom. It is a celebration of a lifetime initiated in Eden by Jesus himself, our divine groom. You see, the objective is oneness, one love, one heart, trust in one another. You see, a marriage is powerfully symbolic of the relationship that the redeemed will have with their divine groom, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I can elaborate with a few statistics here. In every country, every culture, there is a marriage or a wedding. In China, there are over 9 million marriages or weddings that take place annually. Here in the United States, 2.5 million weddings take place annually. That is roughly 6,200 per day. You see how important a marriage is. And I've already said it, that it was designed, it was initiated by Jesus himself in Eden. One of the most popular weddings was in the 20th century. It was a royal wedding between Charles and Diane, right? Many of us here may have watched it. But millions upon millions of people all around the world tuned in to see that wedding. Unfortunately, it didn't last, right? And when God instituted initiated this institution, it was something to last how long?
Forever.
On May 19th, this year, 2018, there will be another one, another royal wedding. Who knows between whom? Between? I'm sorry. On May 19, 2018, there will be another royal wedding, right? Who knows between who and who? Between Harry and Meghan. And I'm sure millions will also tune into this wedding to see what takes place. Because a wedding, a marriage, is designed by who? God, right? And as I said before, it depicts the relationship that we should or will have with our divine maker, our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three most important aspects of a wedding or a marriage. Number one, the vow. Number two, the consummation. And three, the supper. Today, I want to focus on the supper because the title of my sermon is The Two Last Supper. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 29, the scripture reading. Gabriel just read it. Matthew 26, verse 29. And I read in your hearing. It says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." This was at the Passover supper when Jesus stated this. Last week we celebrated this institution, and it was a grand time. I felt so blessed. I am indeed joyful when I have a celebration, or when I participate in a celebration like that, because I know that I can turn over a new page, a clean slate. My sins are all gone, are forgiven. And I can stand in the justice of Christ's righteousness. So I'm happy when I celebrate this occasion. In Matthew 26, verse 29, Jesus clearly declared to his disciples that I will not participate in the drinking of this cup of the wine and the bread with you now until that day when I will celebrate with you in my Father's kingdom. That is a clear indication that Jesus will have a grand celebration with his disciples and with all the redeemed in his Father's kingdom. It's clear. It's stated right there. This is something that we all as Christians should be looking forward to. We all should focus on that heavenly things. We should set our mind on it and have it deep in the back of our minds to endeavor to be there in that grand, beautiful celebration that Jesus will be preparing for us to celebrate with him. Now let's turn to Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9. Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9. Revelation 19, 7 to 9, and you should be there. and I'll read in your hearing. He said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. And his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." The marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, "These are the true saints of God." We're looking forward to that marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what Jesus was talking about with his disciples. All the redeemed of all ages, those who have slept in the grave, those who are alive at the second coming, when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, we all shall be elevated. Defying the force of gravity, we shall be caught up. Angels calling us to where? That new Jerusalem that Jesus himself has prepared for us. Jesus himself has prepared for us. We will be caught up there. The table will be set for this grand occasion, this grand celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus himself will be the groom, and we, the redeemed, will be who? His bride. That's why we have weddings, marriages as an institution, to get us ready, to get us familiar with what will take place at this grand celebration. Jesus himself will be the groom. The Father, the Holy Spirit, the disciples, angels, our saved loved ones, friends, the redeemed, millions upon millions will be there at this grand celebration in the New Jerusalem. We'll celebrate for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. How grand this would be. Don't you want to be there? The spotlight will be on Jesus and us. We will be transformed. We will be changed. The state that we are in now, we can't take it there. We'll be totally different. We'll be transformed, as I say. We'll experience genuine love. Love to a higher degree that we have never experienced in our lives. The love that we talk about is just a fraction, a small percent of the love that we'll experience in the presence of the living God, in the presence of our groom. Because Jesus himself is what? Love. Jesus himself is love. We will know what true love is. There will be no loss, no fear. There will be peace, joy, purity, harmony. That's what we're striving for. No fear, no loss. We'll have no hope or goal or aspiration to ponder about, because we are in the presence of who? Jesus, God Almighty. He's the source of everything. We have nothing to worry about. The world's weight and the cares will be lifted off our shoulders. We'll be free at last, free at last from condemnation. We'll be free from the onslaught of the enemy, the one who is forever aiming now to see us go to destruction. We'll be free, free, free. There will be, at this grand celebration, I don't use the word party because the world used the word party. It will be a grand celebration. There will be no alcohol, no drug, no booze. We'll be high in love. We'll be intoxicated in love. Then the greatest, one of the greatest highlights, the greatest highlight of this grand celebration is that Jesus himself will take the cup of the new wine and he'll drink and we will participate, we will drink with him of the new wine. The new wine, as Isaiah 65 or 66 verse 8 spoke about it. The new wine will be the juice, the grape juice, fresh from the fruits. That's the new wine that we will participate in. We shall drink with Jesus himself. The fulfillment of what he said to the disciple. The disciples will drink with him. We also will drink with him. He will participate in this grand celebration. We will participate. The Redeemer of all ages will participate. Our loved ones. Oh, how glorious it will be. We will sit at the welcome table and Jesus himself will visit everyone around the table. He will talk with you. He will talk with me. He will talk with every single one of the redeemed. He'll have 1,000 years to do that. That's what he said. 1,000 years we'll spend there. Every one of us will get an opportunity with our groom. And the fantastic thing about it is that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he'll embrace us all individually. I've never got the chance to meet a king. I've only seen a king in a book. The picture of a king, but I will be embraced by the greatest King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's fair and just and loving. Irrespective of where you're from, he will not see you as beneath his dignity because he's Lord and he's altogether loving. Pure, holy, righteous, and good. Those are some of the characteristics of our groom. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I set my mind on this occasion. This is one of the things that I'm looking forward to. And I believe with all my heart that this day is going to take place. It's going to take place as sure as the sun rises every morning. It's going to take place. The marriage supper of the Lamb with all the redeemed. In the New Jerusalem, with its static beauty. Can you imagine? City all gleaming, everything is perfect. Everything is holy and divine. We'll be in the company of Jesus in that supper. The second supper, my title is the two last supper. The second supper I would like to talk about is found in Revelation 19. Keep the same chapter, Revelation 19. And we will read verses 17 to 21. This is the supper that I would not like to participate in. Revelation 19, verse 21 to verse 17 to 21. And let me read for you. 19, verse 20, 17 to 21. I guess we're ready now, and it says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains and the flesh of the mighty men and the flesh of the horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the swords of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This second supper will be for those who rejected God. Those who were given the opportunity on the face of this earth to make a commitment, a contract with God, but they refused to. They will be what? The content of the supper. It's clearly stated there that the fowls of the air will have a feast on their flesh. When Christ appeared the second time, there will be humans all over. There will be humans in submarine under the deepest depth of the ocean. They say that the deepest depth of the ocean is the Mariana Trench somewhere on the east, close to the Philippines, and that's 7 miles deep down underneath there, the bottom of the sea. There will be men in submarines. There will be men in outer space orbiting. There will be some in bunkers in various different parts. They all will hear. They all will be aware of the coming of the Son of Man. Because Jesus is, there will be time enough for them to come up from the deep. Time enough for those on the airplane to land. Time enough for those in outer space to come back to earth to take part in the actions. Because Jesus have all the time in the world. And those whose names are not written in the book of life, so that they will be elevated, they will be caught up. There will be angels, holy angels, to escort them to the wine press, to a place where they will be what? Destroyed. And that spot is where the eagle is gonna nest. That spot is where the fowls of the air will have a feast on their flesh. Some will be running to hide. Amongst the rock, various different places. But they will be slain. Why? Because judgment has come and mercy has gone. There will be mercy no more. We all would have gotten the opportunity to make it right with God. And if we haven't made it right, if we are not redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because in a marriage relationship, remember I told you, there has to be a consummation. And the consummation has to take place with what? Blood. And Jesus' blood, which is shed on the cross, is a part of the consummation that in the marriage of the redeemed and himself, his blood that he has shed on the cross helped to consummate the relationship that we will have with him. So if we are not redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, then we will be a part of the second supper, wherein we will be the content of the supper. So they will be taken to their death. There will be no chance. No chance for salvation for all those whose names are not written in the book of life. God's wrath will be poured out. This will be God's strangest act. He doesn't want to do it. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants to save us all. He has given us all the opportunities. But we reject him. I want to say that I love a marriage supper. You have the best there, the best to partake of. There's always joy there. I've never attended a marriage supper where there is frustration, there is bickering, there is fight. There will be joy. There's always joy there and pleasure there. That's why I'm looking forward to the first supper, to be with Jesus. And to enjoy that forever relationship with him. To enjoy the beauty of heaven. To celebrate no more cares of this world. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. That's why I declare, come, Lord Jesus, come, come. We want to go home with you. We want to go home. We want to participate in that supper with you. We have to make a choice today, whether the first or the second supper. And today, if you want to choose the first supper, can you stand with me so I may close with prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your words are true.
Everything will come to pass. Everything will happen as you say. We believe. We believe. And we want to make a commitment to follow your truth, to be obedient, to be loyal to you, and to set our minds on heavenly things. Please give us the power, give us the strength, give us the fortitude, the determination to be able to do so. So that when you shall come the second time, we shall be ready to meet you, to caught up together to meet you in the air, and to be in that grand finale, that grand ceremony with you as the bride and you as the groom and us as the bride. Help us to be there, O God. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray.
Home, sweet home. Father, we are longing for home. Help us to prepare. Help us to get ready. Because with you, there is joy, there is peace. No more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrows. There will be pleasures forevermore in your presence. We're looking forward to that day, dear God. Help us to set our minds on these heavenly things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.